Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you're listening. This is Davisville on KDRTLP 95.7 FM in Davis, California. You can find us online anytime at kdrt.org/Davisville. I'm Bill Buchanan. I'm your host. Thank you for tuning in today. Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here and venture that most of us appreciate good reporting about food, places to eat, maybe the social side of sharing a meal with friends and family. Reporting that covers the breadth of the subject, that is, not just the swanky stuff, but where to get a good honest sandwich, for example, and where to learn about all the variety available around here. Our guest today is Benji Eagle. He's been on this show before. When he last joined us on Davisville, that was in spring 2023, he'd been a food and beverage writer for the Sacramento Bee for several years. Well, he left that job this past April and didn't announce where he was headed, beyond a hint or two. Well, now we know. As of this summer, he is the senior food editor at a new regional nonprofit journalism venture called Abridged. This is part of KVIE, that's the public broadcasting station in Sacramento. Also, some of you may recall that Benji lived in Davis and wrote sports stories for the Davis Enterprise when he was in high school here about 15 years ago. So, food, local journalism, lots to cover. Benji, thanks for joining us again today on Davisville.
Thanks so much for having me, Bill. It's exciting to be back.
Yeah, this is great. So I'm going to want to talk about food and how you plan to report and write about it in your new job. But first, I want to ask about Abridged. I noticed that it launches on 916, which is September 16th, which is a play on the telephone area code for Sacramento, 916. Clearly, you guys have a sense of play, but tell us about Abridged.
Yeah, so it's spearheaded by a journalist named Ryan Lillis, who had been my boss at the Sacramento Bee. And Ryan has covered the Sacramento region, largely City Hall, but other stories as well for the past almost 20 years now. And he just really felt that there was room for more media coverage here in Sacramento, room to do things in a nonprofit way. And he partnered up with KVIE and got started launching Abridged. So he brought me on in April. He's built out a team of now 25 journalists, give or take. That includes people who had been on staff at KVIE, and it includes new hires such as myself. So we're really excited to cover a lot of things that aren't being covered as well as they could be here in the Sacramento region. That includes arts and culture, it includes education, it includes local government, and it includes food and drink. We'll also have a full-time reporter starting with us soon who's going to cover Yolo County as his primary beat. So I'm really excited to have more coverage of Davis and the surrounding communities because that's something that's really near and dear to my heart as well.
Should we think of this as KVIE or sort of a wing of it?
Well, our newsroom is, in the KVIE building here on West El Camino Avenue in Sacramento. KVIE and Abridged have been folded in. They are one. Some of the people who have been working on KVIE longer term pieces, for the past, gosh, 20 years, they're working here at Abridged now. It's all part of the same thing. I think that our broadcast audiences for KVIE will still get the excellent programming that they've been enjoying for a long time, but we're also trying to modernize and step in a new direction and come up with something that's going to make KVIE sustainable going forward. And so we're really excited to dip our toe into the news sphere here as well and cover the Sacramento region in the way that we see fit.
You've written about this a little bit on your LinkedIn page already, and I want to quote that here. You wrote this in mid-August. You said, "We're public media supported by and answering to our neighbors, not hedge funds, profits, or billionaires' whims." Of course, those last two comments refer to a common newspaper ownership model these days. You also wrote, "We'll pass on crime fodder and clickbait in favor of stories covering local school systems, government bodies, and empower community members to tell their neighborhood stories via our citizen journalism initiative." Now, you've referred to some of that already in the terms of the stories you're going to cover. I'm curious about this citizens journalism initiative. Are you going to be having, we would call them freelancers in the old days, people who aren't employed by a news organization but write for it. These days, there's the idea of community journalists, citizen journalists. Describe that side of it, if you would.
Absolutely. So we will have traditional freelancers. As the food editor, I plan on working with a lot of people who are freelance food writers here in the region. the Citizen Journalism Initiative is something different. It's spearheaded by an editor named Adam Eisenberg, who had been at EdSource before this. And essentially, what he will be doing is working with people in neighborhoods around the Sacramento region, neighborhoods that don't always get the press that they deserve. He'll be working with people who don't necessarily have a journalism background and training them up to write as journalists, to, remove bias from their copy and to teach them proper style and grammar and that sort of thing, so that they can properly tell the stories of their communities, of their neighborhoods. That's going to be his full-time job. It'll be a lot of work for him, but I think it's a really worthwhile endeavor to have people from South Sacramento or Rancho Cordova or Natomas covering their communities on the ground there.
You also wrote, and of course, PBS and public media in general has been in the news like a lot of things this year because of cuts from the Trump administration. Although, in the PBS case, Congress, the Republican majority Congress, also voted to slash funding. You wrote KVIE has historically received about 14% of its budget from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is shutting down. We're able to move forward with a bridge thanks to KVIE's excellent financial stewardship and community members' generous donations over the years. So, I mean, you're launching this new public media venture at a time when funding for public media is pulling back. But I read what you said here as you're saying you guys will be okay financially. You've got the money to do this, even though public media is being cut back.
Yeah, I think that one thing I've learned in my short tenure so far as a KVIE employee is just how much people around this region love KVIE and love PBS. And so we're kind of a startup as a bridge, but we're folding into this media organization that has a lot of fans in the region for the past 70 years or so. And so people in the Sacramento region, including Davis, have really supported PBS and KVIE over the years. And that's allowed us to do things like a bridge. We had our funding set aside for a bridge for the first 3 years before news about the cuts came through, before our funding was going to be impacted. And it allows us to continue on that path. As you said, it'll be 14% of our budget that we won't have going forward. But we're hopeful that with a new product like this, that's really going to serve the region, people will be excited about that. People will step up to support even more or start supporting PBS, and we'll be able to weather those cuts.
You talked about the people hired, and I was looking over the list, and some of those names I recognize. Felicia Alvarez, for example, also worked at the Enterprise, not a fine reporter. She's done a variety of things. It seems like part of a bridge's goals must have been to hire journalists who already know the region. Was that the intent?
Yeah, it was. We have a couple of folks who have come, as hires from DC or, outside the region. One, our Yolo County reporter is finishing up his master's in journalism at UC Berkeley. But look, we're a community journalism outlet and we are going to be covering this region. We need to have some institutional knowledge. And you don't have to have lived in the Sacramento region for practically your whole life like I did, but you need to have some roots here and care about this community, I think, at least for a lot of our staff. And so that was intentional. I think as they were making hiring choices, they were looking around at who had been working in the local media sphere and, who they really one to work with of that group. I would like to think that's why I was brought in. Savannah Smith also came over from the B, and she runs a lot of our back end things. Our news editor is Dan Smith, who covered the Capitol for 20 plus years and worked for Visit California after that. And so, to get the best talent, we do need to look outside the region as well. But I think it is really important to have institutional knowledge, people who have a connection to the Sacramento region, to towns like Davis outside of Sacramento proper, and inform our reporting on that.
Yeah. As you know, having worked in the business, the most valuable, most useful reporting usually comes from a good, solid local knowledge, not just that you don't make boneheaded mistakes like getting names wrong and local stories wrong, but also just so that you can go deeper into a story and so understand what's really happening as opposed to just what's on the agenda or what some advocate for one cause or another wants to tell you. Can I ask you who the name of the Yolo reporter is going to be, or is that still under wraps?
I think I can say it at this point. His name is Daniel Tennessee, and he'll be starting with us in a couple of weeks in September. I think he's still figuring out a couple of things. And we're really excited to have someone covering it. Yolo County is a big and diverse place from West Sacramento up through the Capay Valley. And there's a lot of land and a lot of people to cover. So I think it makes a lot of sense to have someone doing it full time. I'm also really excited about some of the journalists who are going to be joining us as contributors. Longtime people in this region might recognize the name Donna Appadoni. She had been at Cap Radio for a long time, and she's going to be writing a column every couple of weeks about how to be active in 55 and up, at age 55 and up. Chris Macias as well, also covered arts and food for the Bee at a time, and he's going to be joining us as well. And Dan Weintraub is going to be writing columns about Lake Tahoe and the culture up there, which I know a lot of people in this region visit throughout the summer and the winter. So I'm really excited about some of the new hires that we've brought on, but also a lot of these people who have been around the region for a long time too.
Then you're going to write about food. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you about the first video that I saw you do, the fried food at the fair. I was a little worried about about you after I watched that, after I saw you eating all that stuff. But first, what are you going to cover? Is it going to be about restaurants? Is it going to be about bars? Is it going to be about food as an industry? How's that going to work?
Yeah, I plan to cover all of those things. I think that there's a lot of stories you can tell through the lens of food that people can access in an easier way than a lot of other fields, because we all eat, we all drink, whether it's alcohol or not, and you can really taste who someone is by eating their food or drinking what they've created. So I plan on covering, trends that are happening within the local dining industry. I plan on telling stories beyond the plate. We'll do some openings and closings too, but I think that we'll try to avoid getting into the rat race of that, because if that's what you do as a main focus, that's kind of all you can do. Still, we'll have that news coming out. I will be doing a weekly newsletter similar to what I did at the Sacramento Bee, but with a few more personal touches. So I'm looking forward to doing that as well. I think there'll be a section in there every week, just a little bit about my life and how I like to eat. And you might see recurring characters like my parents, who are Sol Davis residents, in there. So planning to
Okay.
have a lot of fun with it. Also, in this position, I'm an editor. I'm not a reporter solely. So I get to hire freelancers to write about things that they know about and things that they see in the Sacramento region. We're going to be having someone who's a professional recipe developer writing a column every couple of weeks, where she'll go to a local farmer's market, see what's in season, come back and create a recipe, and then share that with our public. So
Okay.
things like that, to have a little fun with it while looking at serious stories too that involve the restaurant industry, the financial aspects of that, and a lot of cultural expression that happens through that industry too.
KVIE, of course, is a television station. Is a lot of your work going to be video? I mean, are we going to see these on programs airing on KVIE? I'm sure there'll be social media equivalents, but are you doing mostly video, or are you going to be like writing for the newsletter?
Yeah, our primary focus with the bridge will be written content. We will, however, include a lot of video because we have all these staff members at KVIE who have this expertise, who have been doing this for a long time. And so I think that the majority of our content, yes, will be written newsletters, written articles, that sort of thing. But it would be foolish to ignore that expertise too and to not capitalize on that. I think that we plan on doing a lot of short, fun videos, which will be shared on our social media. We'll also take the time to do some longer, 5 to 10 minute length videos that you can slot into KVIE's regular programming as what we call interstitials. So some of those folks might have already seen if they've been watching a lot of KVIE over the last couple of months, but we'll try and get some more of that going as we gear up for our launch on 916.
Could do a quick station ID. This is Davisville on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California, kdrt.org/Davisville. I'm Bill Buchanan, and we are talking with Benji Eagle. He is now the senior food editor for Abridged. That is a nonprofit, new nonprofit journalism venture based in the Sacramento region. It's also affiliated with KVIE. Just quickly about the name, Abridged. That's sort of a pun on building bridges and Tower Bridge and so on. Is that the theme there?
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, our colors are gold and black. This is leaning into Tower Bridge. And for Yolo County, especially, the bridge is what connects Yolo County to Sacramento. That being said, I think it's also a statement about the kind of work that we want to produce. I think that we want to give people all the information they need, but we don't need long, flowy articles to make it happen. We are going to boil down the most relevant information to things that are going to be easily digestible. We really want to meet readers and viewers where they are. And frankly, a lot of people have shorter attention spans these days. But I think it's also an exercise in good journalism to be able to write concise, practical information. I think it's attributed to Mark Twain, which means he probably didn't really say it, but the quote goes, "I would have written you a shorter story, but I didn't have more time." There's something to that about.
It's about knowing your subject, isn't it? The version of that that I've heard is the reporter turning in a story saying, "Sorry, it's so long. I didn't have time to write it shorter."
Yeah, exactly.
Same basic idea. And I think what's behind that is the idea that if you can write it shorter, it's because you know the subject. You're not just passing along information, but you know the right verb to use. You don't use the vague, passive, constructed language, but you can say wallop, for example, because you know it is a wallop, and not simply an impact.
So I think that's sort of the dual purpose with a bridge with that name.
It is a challenge in journalism to tell nuance, to tell substantial stories, and keep things short. Are you confident you can do that?
I am, yeah. I think that's something that, personally I've really tried to hone in on during my time at the Sacramento Bee. I also think that there are different ways to tell that story. You can tell one story through words and another if you need to tell some more through video, or you can break it into a multi-part story. You can get two stories out of it, say. Yeah, I feel like that's maybe one of my strengths at this point as a writer, and I look forward to doing that more as an editor too, to slash mercilessly, but to end up with a better story by the end than by the beginning, to cut out a lot of that unnecessary filler and words in there and really give people what they need to know.
One example of this maybe, and it would be an odd example, but referring to that first video that I saw that you did for KVIE on fried food at the fair. And as I said, I was a little worried that it wouldn't end well, after you ate the fried Twinkie and the drunken pig fries and the fried Oreo. You did try some fried peaches, I think, there at the end.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Got to have your vitamins in there too.
But one thing I noticed when I was looking at that, I mean, I thought it was a well-made video and all that. It was 4 minutes plus on YouTube, and on Instagram, it was about 90 seconds or so. Well, that was a shorter version of the longer one. But it made me wonder a couple of things. First of all, I mean, I think that's just the ethic of Instagram and YouTube, and different channels have different expectations, I guess. But are you going to have to produce several versions of each story? Sort of one for skimmers, one for people with more patience. And of course, that's a tax on your time. In other words, the more you're editing a story into different bits and pieces, the less you're out reporting other stories. What do you think of all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're still a few weeks out from our launch. And so we've been toying with a few different ideas, a few different concepts. And that was one of them that, we shot a 4 minute video for horizontal viewing, and we also shot a 90 second video for vertical viewing from that, or we cut a 90 second vertical video from that. And we were sort of trying to feel out what that workload would look like, what the response might look like. I think that going forward, we will probably just use things for mainly their intended purpose. So we might do a 4 minute video horizontally. We might do a 90 second video vertically. We probably wouldn't try and do two different cuts and, get two different versions out of it. Those are just things that we're sort of working out in the first few months before launch as well. I think that as far as articles, no, I don't really see us doing one longer version and one shorter version. My hope is that we'll just be able to do a medium-sized version that's concise and contains all the information one would need to know, and won't leave the viewer or reader hungry for more at the end too.
So I get a sense listening to you, this is going to be sort of a multimedia service to people. But thinking now as the audience for this, your intended readers, viewers, is this something that you think primarily people will experience through the written, through the newsletter, or will it be as much video as it is written? I'm trying to get a sense, in other words, if I want to form a habit, if I want to watch this and form a habit of watching it and taking advantage of it, where will I look for it and what format is it going to arrive in?
It will be primarily written. I think that the video will complement that, but it will be primarily a written medium. As far as getting it, we will have a daily newsletter that I'll be writing, other staff members will be writing, and I'll be writing my food newsletter as well. But this is just about all the news around the Sacramento region that you need to know about every day delivered to your inbox. We have a form on our website, abridged.org, that people can sign up for the newsletter for that. And our hope is that, yes, people can navigate to us through social media, through, just browsing on our site, but we are part of this community and we want to start you with your morning cup of coffee in your inbox. And so hopefully people will be checking their phones when they get up and see the morning newsletter and find a story or two that they're interested in reading from there. Everything will be free, including the newsletter, but also no paywalls for stories. So once you get it, you're interested, you can click through and read to your heart's content.
So this is going to be a competition for your old employer, and for that matter, for any existing media outlet in the area.
It probably will be to some extent. Yeah. I'm also really of the belief that a rising tide lifts all ships and competition isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think that sometimes my performance is enhanced by having a little bit of a competitive drive and someone that I want to outreport, say, on a breaking news story. It hopefully will make the journalism scene stronger in the Sacramento region as a whole. And that'll be better for anyone who's reading or consuming media, but it'll also be better for the journalists.
Sounds like a version of the daily newspaper, except it'll be digital. It won't be formatted like one. I don't know how it'll be formatted, but I don't imagine it's going to look like a newspaper. But the point is, it'll arrive much the same way in the morning, right? Cup of coffee, here it is. It comes in, it's on your screen, and you can read what you want from it. It's free. That's going to be attractive. We don't hear the phrase so much, information wants to be free, but clearly it moves around a lot more easily if there's not a cost attached to it.
Oh, I mean, there are certainly a lot of similarities, as you said. I think that one thing that would differentiate us is we won't have a crime reporter. We won't be covering shootings as they happen unless, it gets to be sort of a larger multi-day story. We won't really cover politics a whole lot outside of the local government that's here in our region. We don't plan on having a state politics reporter. So there are things that are already really being covered well in the Sacramento region, including those two subjects. And you have outlets like the Sacramento Bee and you have KCRA covering those really well. But we see a niche as well of things that we can step in and cover and compete on right away.
It'll be interesting to see how this develops. I say this as a journalist, but also as someone who's lived here a long, long time. And, clearly there are holes in local coverage. We've talked over at Davis Media Access, a project called Yolo Local, which has completed a survey this year of people in Yolo County saying, what kind of information aren't you getting? And so on. We've done shows about that. Probably will do more. But I mean, there's similarities I'm hearing between the two efforts, except, yours is backed by a well-established public TV station. You were saying one of your first ventures that you're going to be publishing is a food guide.
It is. Yeah, we'll have a food guide for Sacramento State students and for UC Davis students, two separate ones. And it's not a guide for eating on campus, it's a guide for eating around campus. So the UC Davis one will be written by a UC Davis PhD student studying English. And, she loves eating good food, going to the farmers market, getting party ingredients together with her friends. And it's sort of a guide to how to eat around downtown Davis and the surrounding region for grad students, undergrads. And I think a lot of it will be applicable to people who live in Davis but aren't students as well. So she's got everything in there from your casual bites that you need late at night to, what to do when your parents are taking you out to dinner on a visit. That'll be really fun and hopefully practical for a lot of people.
And that'll be late September, you think, when that'll be out?
Yeah, that'll publish in late September.
I want to take advantage of your writing about food and having grown up in Davis and just ask you a couple of Davis questions, because this comes up, of course, as you know. How would you describe the Davis food scene? And how would you explain it? Clearly, student budgets and interests are an influence. What do you think?
Gosh, yeah. I mean, well, it's changed a lot since I was growing up in Davis and the 2000s, I guess, but the students still drive a lot of what is served. I know that, for some folks, there's some frustration over that. But look, there are major populace within the region. And a lot of the times, too, they're on the trend of what's happening, what's new. As far as restaurants that like students and townies will enjoy, I think that there's a lot of excitement when new restaurants come out. Every time there's a new restaurant downtown, they're backed up for months, it feels like, or weeks at least. I think they can often get overwhelmed at the start. And I think that Davis, has this sort of hippie and free spirit side, a little crunchy. And so that often lends people to be willing to try foods that they're unfamiliar with. Who would have thought that like Dos Coyotes would be such a success 30 some years later. It may not seem revolutionary, but at the time, there really wasn't Southwestern food here in Davis or the Sacramento region at
Yeah,
large when
that's a
Bobby
that,
Coyote started that.
and that's a group that started in Davis.
Yeah, it is. And Kari Sushi no Mikase. I know a lot of chefs who have been afraid to start a small sushi bar in Sacramento, but in Davis, they needed to fill 8 seats a night, and they've done that most of the time. And so they've been able to be successful over the last 4 years or so. So I think that Davis as a whole is part of it is rooted in cheap eats that college students can afford and, are going to want to go to. And then the dining populace is really excited for new restaurants, has some disposable income to spend at those places typically, and is willing to try new things. So I think that the diners are sort of ready in some ways for better restaurants than Davis has overall. But I do like a lot of Davis restaurants as well. So.
Well, yeah, you touch on that with the frustrations, and I do hear that in town. You'll hear it in passing. I actually heard it as part of a real estate discussion this past week, where the person I was talking to mentioned, and I thought this was an interesting phenomenon, upper division students, fourth and fifth year students, who are choosing to live in Midtown Sacramento instead of in Davis. They're moving from Davis over there. They're still attending UC Davis, but they find Midtown more attractive place to live. The rents are about the same, and they'd only need to be on campus a couple days a week. You'll also see it around here, I think, in that people will, they might look kind of longingly to Sacramento or Woodland or Winters for restaurants that they can't find here, even though a lot of people will tell you, oh, they have two or three places they really do like here. But overall, the impression that a lot of people will say is, yeah, Davis doesn't have the restaurants it deserves.
Yeah, and there's no reason it needs to be that way. I mean, Davis, like Sacramento, is surrounded by such a fertile agricultural area. You can have great farm to fork restaurants. There's, a good amount of ethnic diversity in Davis and the surrounding region. You can have really good Chinese restaurants, really good Mexican restaurants, that sort of thing in Davis as well. I personally have friends who are UC Davis graduate students, and they live in Sacramento and drive in a couple times a week, as you said. But I think part of that too is just people want a larger city, and they want to live in Midtown or downtown Sacramento and do their schooling out in Davis sometimes. I'll also say that, a lot of my friends who grew up in Davis and now are successful in their careers, they're itching for the chance to move back. They really loved their childhood there in the 2000s, and they want to recreate that for their own kids. And so, these people are going out to eat and drink as well too, and they've lived in other larger cities, and maybe we will see a wave impact Davis too. That's sort of what happened in Sacramento. You had all these people who had grown up in Sacramento. They had moved to New York or Los Angeles, and they decided to move home. And they had either the taste for kind of a better class of food, I would say, or they were chefs who had worked in those places and learned new techniques and decided they wanted to start something new back in their hometown. I would love to see that happen in Davis. I still have a lot of restaurants that I enjoy going to with my family and friends when I'm back home. But yeah, there's room for growth as well.
And I suppose you'll be covering Davis as part of your overall beat.
Absolutely. My mom tells me I don't cover Davis restaurants enough, but I definitely do focus on that, as well as restaurants in Folsom and Elk Grove and, all the other places around our region. But yeah, there's a
Yeah.
lot to cover. Yeah.
Well, that's right. I mean, you're no longer, I mean, you know Davis, but it's part of a much larger beat for you now.
Yeah.
We accept that here in Davis, even if we still remember that you're a Davis guy. Well, Benji, thank you for talking with us today on Davisville.
Bill, thanks so much for having me.
I am Bill Buchanan. We've been talking with Benji Eagle. He's the senior food editor now for Abridged. That's a new local journalism nonprofit venture based in this region, affiliated with KVIE. I'm Bill Buchanan. This is Davisville, KDRT 95.7 FM, Davis, California. Thank you for listening.